With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lose the Cape Podcast, episode 83. I think this might be one of my favorite episodes that we've done in a long time. Janine was a real surprise to me, not because I didn't know that she'd be great to interview. I've known her for a long time, and I've known that she is an advocate for mental health and for raising kids that have mental health issues, autism, SPD, all kinds of things that we talk about that she will explain. But the more I listened to her and the more I talked to her, the more I realized what a superhero mamas are with kids who struggle so hard with some of these mental health and disability challenges. Janine is amazing. She herself suffers from a sensory processing disorder, and that knowledge of her own shortcomings, or not even shortcomings, but challenges associated with it, has allowed her to really be a very caring and understanding mother to her two boys. But listening to her talk about what her life is like and the things that they go through and the things that they have to do to function on a daily basis just really embodies our whole idea of the Live Bravely campaign. Life dealt her something that some people would complain about all day. She handles it beautifully. She, I believe, is a handpicked mother for these two boys because she's just amazing. If you are a mom to special needs children, you are going to love this interview, I believe, because she really brings forth the issues and challenges that most of us don't think about on a day-to-day basis. If you are not a special needs mom, you're going to love this interview because she makes it so easy to understand in a completely non-complaining, non-judgmental, non-anything way other than this is our life and this is how we deal with it manner. She's amazing. Thank you so much, Janine, for sharing your story and your boy's story with us. I am so excited to participate in helping spread awareness about ADHD, autism, SPD, I don't even remember all the acronyms that we, ODD, just all kinds of stuff that we talked about. And it's a real pleasure to know you and to have you as a special guest on our show.
Hey, boss ladies, I'm Alexa Bigwarf, and I'm the founder of Cat Biggie Press and Write, Publish, Sell. I help women fulfill their book writing dreams through author coaching and publishing support. You can find out more at writepublishsell.co.
Hey, y'all, I'm Aubrey Mathis, owner and founder of Today May Suck, a comfort gift company for your peeps going through the suckiest of times. I also help moms get off the couch and into some heels, create a biz they love, and live a life unpinned. For more information, visit AubreyMathis.com.
Together, we bring you real talk from life-experienced women, celebrating, empowering, and encouraging the woman behind the kids, the marriage, and the business. We know that you don't have to be supermom to be a supermom, so join us and lose the cape.
Welcome back to another episode of the Lose the Cape podcast, where we interview busy modern moms and pick their brains for all their tools, strategies, and survival tips. We are happy to interview Janine Lebsack today, who is a busy special needs parent of two adorable sons. She also advocates for mental health and autism spectrum disorder. She's a proud hockey-loving Canadian who spends her spare time on hockey road trips, theater, reading, and writing. She's also in the process of writing her book, which she's determined to finish before her kids are driving. So thank you for being with us today, Janine.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Yes, we had a little bit of technical difficulties getting here, but we survived.
Yes, we're just going to put out a PSA. If you are on your mobile on Zoom, take your phone case off. It helps.
Yeah, that was, pretty wild.
I think sometimes, because I have a phone case and I always have to take it off too, like the connection with the earbuds doesn't go all the way in because of the case.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's probably a very good point.
That's a life hack.
Yes.
Right there. Hashtag life hack. Hey, all right, Janine. So let's talk about you and your kids now. Tell us about your boys. Are they both on the autism spectrum?
No, I have a 10-year-old son and he has ADHD,
okay.
ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. And my youngest is turning 6 next month. Holy, actually, sorry, it is March. He's turning 6 this month. I got to plan a party. he was diagnosed a year ago with autism spectrum disorder. We also did genetic testing, my husband and I, with our youngest. And we found that he actually has a very rare genetic disorder. It's called 16p11.2 deletion duplication syndrome.
Wow.
It is a mouthful, and it's so rare that I can't even find any information regarding the duplication deletion of the 16th chromosome. I can only find the deletion of the 16p11.2 or the duplication. Huh. So we will be meeting with a geneticist this month to really clear up a lot of that confusion, because essentially I've been left on my own since my doctor left her practice.
Oh no!
After giving us the results, so it's been a journey. So I will look forward to seeking some professional help in that aspect. But I am finding out that, due to the genetic syndrome that my son was born with, it makes him more susceptible to developing autism.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot to take in.
It is. Quite a mouthful.
Well, just quite an emotional load as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now, you mentioned your first son has ADHD, which I believe most of us are probably fairly familiar with, but what is ODD?
ODD is oppositional defiant disorder. I've had some maybe not PC catchphrases for it, but it's it's when the brain wiring is literally telling the person that has the ODD that they just can't not win an argument, that they have to get every last word out and every last thought, and it's usually comes tempered with a angry outburst. I do have some hopeful feedback on that, where I've met with a psychologist, and the psychologist said it's not like a life sentence. It's more behavioral, but the ADHD, that's more brain wiring.
Right. Does ODD often compared with ADHD? Because my son is just like you just described, and he is documented and medicated ADHD.
Yes. The psychologist that I worked with here in Alberta, he had told me generally ADHD and ODD come hand in hand. If there's not one diagnosis of the ADHD or the ODD, there will be like SPD or anxiety with the sensory processing disorder. Mm-hmm. And wow. It just becomes like a whole big bowl of alphabet soup.
Right.
At what age was he diagnosed with this? He's 10 now.
Yes. My youngest was diagnosed with autism in February of last year, and then my oldest the month after. So literally a year.
So with the ODD, I'm just curious because, you know, I would just say, well, my daughter's just going through a stage. She's just being temperamental. You know, my husband's still in that stage. Kind of. So I don't know what triggered you to go ahead and take him in, maybe to see if something was underlying.
Well, I'd always suspected something due to the sensory component. Both myself and my sons both have sensory processing disorder that has been diagnosed by medical professionals, but unfortunately it's not in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Health. So it's really not recognized as an actual disorder. But let me tell you, if you're in our house for a weekend, you'll know it's real.
Well, tell us before you go on, tell us a little bit about it, because I don't know anything about SPD.
Okay. SPD was also a coined term called sensory integration disorder, or just sensory disintegration. It does affect the brain in terms of what type of sensory input that your central nervous system can pick up and then travel that message to your brain. With the SPD, it's like there's a traffic jam inside the brain where it's just not getting that message from the CNS to the brain. I have what's called sensory avoidance, and as well as my oldest son. And that's when you have so much sensory input, you just can't take anymore. You're really more hyposensitive to it. And also, my youngest, he has the sensory modulation disorder, which means that he is constantly seeking sensory input. He has that traffic jam in his brain where he just, let's say you slap your hand on the counter, instantly the nerves messages are traveling up your arm, messages going to your brain, and you're going, ouch, that hurt. But with my youngest, he would need to crash into a wall a few times in order to feel that impact.
Wow.
I actually did a blog post on it. It's now a defunct website, but I essentially had described it as being a bucket of water. So for a sensory avoider like myself and Morgan, we have a bucket that is constantly filled with cups of water all day. And then by the end of the day, the bucket is so full, we cannot take another cup of water because it's just going to spill out. And usually that will involve a sensory meltdown. In terms of my youngest son, he has a bucket of water that is constantly filled with cups of water. And then he dumps it over. And then he has to keep on refilling it and refilling it and refilling it. The key to sensory processing disorder, in my humble opinion, as the mum PhD, I do my quotations there. I said, I haven't gone to school for neurology, but had I known 20 years ago, that's where I would be. I would definitely be a neurologist. I study a lot. But just in terms of the sensory processing disorder, life hacks that I like to use myself and also with my kids is self-regulation techniques. So something as simple as deep breathing, yoga, meditation. I mean, I can't always get my busy kids to do those things regularly. But I also find deep pressure is a wonderful self-regulating tool. My youngest, he likes to lay on the floor when I put the yoga mat down, and I take the couch cushions and I make a sandwich out of them. Mm-hmm. And I just gently press on the cushions until his body gets that sensory input that he's been craving. And then he can just mellow out.
Wow. That's really, my brain is going in so many directions right now with questions because, I mean, I have three. The oldest is ADHD, and after you described ODD, that's something I want to look more into because it's constant with him. It doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth. It's constant rebuttal, 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 yes. Rebuttal, rebuttal, rebuttal. And I'm just like, Brayden, just stop! Rebuttal, rebuttal, rebuttal. Yes. And usually he's angry, and usually he's very emotional. But so one child like that, then thank God for my middle child who is just easy. I imagine she's going to be hell on wheels as a teenager because she's just been too easy. And then my little one who is just like her big brother. So, you know, I have two of them that are constant energy drainers of me as well. And like trying to figure it all out. It's so overwhelming as a parent. Yes. So yes. Talk to us a little bit about what it's like to have children with these disorders and how it's changed your life, how you've had to build your life around it, I guess.
I will say the biggest change is, well, my therapist jokes around with me and says, you've become this walking dictionary of medical knowledge. If you want to find out what's in the DSM-5, you talk to Jeanine. Because if I haven't researched it or had my kids assessed for it, or if I don't personally have it myself, then, I mean, that's my mom PhD neurology, at home degree. I will say, I have dealt with my sensory processing disorder all my life. I was the type of kid that if the room was too loud and noisy and crowded, I would react to my environment with avoiding. And I spent most of my time actually climbing trees so I could get away from the commotion. And I joke around about this now, but we had an upright piano when I was a kid. And my mom would actually just let me climb up there and she would serve me my lunch up there. And I'd have my blanket and my pillow and I'd have the stereo and I watch like Sesame Street and Mr. Dress Up from up there. He's a Canadian entertainment icon. And she never made me feel like I was wrong or I was weird. Mm-hmm. Now I didn't always get that reaction in school. It would just be like, what is wrong? Why is Jeanine climbing on top of her desk? And she just wanted to get away. A funny thing regarding my kids, I mean, without them knowing me in my childhood, they tend to be those climbers as well. Mm. And when I would need to calm my kids down, I would have to like climb on the back of the couch to grab them. Or he was climbing my large bookshelves, you know, and then jumping off onto the couch. So I would have to say I've been really vigilant in terms of wound and ER room prevention. And if the environment is too noisy, too crowded, too busy, my kids and I all react. Mm-hmm. But if I can get us to a zone where I can apply the deep pressure and I can make sure that I'm 10 steps ahead of whatever's coming my way, you become like, I would say, a magician, right? You're just pulling things out of your magic hat, like that, you know, work. Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't work, well, essentially I always got an electronic device that is charged and ready to go. Because iPads, I mean, handheld electronic devices, it's a false sense of regulation, but when you're in a moment, like in a traffic jam or
you need,
in my case, a hockey arena, you know, that's very busy and bustling, and it does allow that instant focus, and it definitely does help. Yeah. And other than that, we have headphones that we all wear. I'm in a busy mall. I always put my iBuds in, just so I can concentrate on where I need to go and what I need to do. And because it's like, I describe it, it's like you can see the noise coming at you. It just feels that intense, that powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that for a tangent, hey?
Right. No, I was just absorbing everything that you were saying and thinking about how I respond in really, in overstimulated environments, and how my daughter does too. And she, like, to the point where I had to take her off of the bus because it was so upsetting to her to be on a noisy bus with loud, obnoxious kids and a loud bus driver. And, you know, I didn't understand that, but I mean, I also knew that I get really overstimulated as well. I thought maybe it was, I don't know. So anyway, now my son rides the bus home and I drive to school to pick her up and we wave at my son on the bus. But, you
know, as a parent, you do what works. Right, absolutely. Exactly.
But I wonder if there's something, I don't know. I hate to like hear something and try and auto-diagnose my children with something, but it does make me wonder, like, could there be something else going on with her too that's beyond just being shy?
I totally believe that there is a genetic connection, and I'm finding a lot of the genetic research that I started to do within the last year and a half, really the answers are in the blood. Yeah. I mean, you can't diagnosed SPD by a blood test, but you can definitely do a sensory profile, you know, with your pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And it was one thing that my former pediatrician told me when I said, well, I was that type of kid, you know, mm-hmm. that was very busy, but I could become very immersed and introverted mm-hmm. in my books. And I also had a will to argue at any length with anyone. My dad always said I'd miss my calling as a lawyer. But I said, now I know why. I'm like, well, I have ADHD, you know, partially diagnosed. And I couldn't focus that long. Mm-hmm. I had to wait like 30 years down the road so I could study every angle of the brain. But what I've been finding in my genetic research is that a lot of the disorders are hereditary. Mm-hmm. And what my pediatrician had told me was ADHD is more hereditary than heart disease.
Oh, wow.
And wow. I said to her, now that's something that I've never heard and I've never read, but she said, if you look at the statistics and you look at genetic profiles, if a parent has, you know, the ADHD, it's 9 times out of 10, they're going to have a child with it.
Mm. Wow.
Yes. So essentially I was born to get my point across and express myself. And then I gave birth to my oldest son who became like my karmic debt in life for all the arguing that I did mm-hmm. as a kid. Mm-hmm.
So what type of advocacy do you do for autism and mental health issues?
I actually belong to a organization called Autism Calgary here in Alberta. And they participate in the World Light Up Autism Day. Mm-hmm. So World Autism Awareness. So I take part in that. I was also very, very fortunate last week to go to an Autism Calgary event, and I got to meet Dr. Temple Grandin. And that was an amazing experience because I'm always searching for success stories. You can really get bogged down as a parent when you're reading all of these diagnoses and all these disorders. And with a lot of disorders come comorbidities. So that's other disorders to watch for in a main label. And it can really depress you, to be honest. Yeah. And meeting her, just being the greatest success story of autism that I've ever read, and personally getting a chance to meet her and buy one of her books and autograph it to my youngest son. So and just to ask her.
She has autism?
And yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, she is a doctor of animal sciences. She's wrote many books on autism and also on veterinary sciences. Mm-hmm. She invented this machine, and it's called the squeeze machine. So from her profiling, she has the autism Asperger's as it was diagnosed back then. Now we don't even use the word in medical communities, but I think there's still that component. But what she also has is sensory issues, and she's more of an avoider like myself. And she had known that she liked deep pressure, but she didn't like to be hugged. She didn't like to be touched on the hand or the arm or anything like that. She just avoided that kind of contact. So what she did to solve her problem was she invented her squeeze machine. And it would give her enough input sensory wise that she could get that deep pressure, but it wouldn't be in close contact of a person.
Wow.
And it was really interesting because after her speech, she opened up the floor to questions. And there was this one person that had asked a question and said, "Do you still use your squeeze machine?" And she said, "Oh, well, my squeeze machine broke down like 8 years ago, and I just haven't had the time to fix it. I'm too busy." And then she says, "Now I hug real people."
Oh,
and everyone, it was the collective, like there was at least 900 people in the room, and we all went, "Aw," just like you both did. It was a really eye-opening moment for me, because I love that deep pressure and I do enjoy a good hug, but I don't like to be a jungle gym, right?
Right.
You know, where my kids are like hanging off me like tree limbs. But it also made me feel a little less sensitive when I do want to hug my big boy and he's all like, mom, I'm good. I'm done. Like he calls it his hug quotient for the week. But then he'll surprise me and he'll come out of nowhere and give me a hug while I'm, you know, doing dishes or something. And, and it's a nice feeling.
Oh, great. Well, I haven't watched it yet, but the documentary Life Animated, I did watch a whole 60 minutes on it. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't actually, but she did actually recommend that in her talk.
It was very interesting, just the 60 minutes episode, how the little boy didn't talk for like 2 years and he finally started relating Disney movies. And the boy would speak the lines, but he would speak them in a way that it made sense for that situation.
Yes.
It's very interesting. And I want to watch the whole documentary because now he's living, you know, a quote unquote normal life. I don't think any of us ever live a normal life, but he is on his own and he has a girlfriend or had a girlfriend. And it was really powerful.
Yeah. To my knowledge, it's quite common when you have someone that's nonverbal and then they start to speak, that they do what's called the echolalia, which is a lot of the pattern speaking, parroting. So you say, "How are you today?" And then person says, "How are you today?" And and it's the same words and it's the same inflection in the tone of voice. And then there's also scripting. And when my youngest was three, he did the echolalia and then he started scripting to the movie Frozen. So I'd be like, "Good morning, Maddox. How are you today? How did you sleep?" And he'd be like, "Do you want to build a snowman?" And I was just so happy that he had language and he was able to put, you know, sentences together. I didn't care if we were reenacting the movie Frozen.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, 25 times a day. Because it really was a breakthrough for him.
Right. Wow. That's really cool. Well, I appreciate you telling us, sharing all of your stories and all the personal information that you shared. I'm sure this would be beneficial for anyone who is going through it. I know it's always helpful to me to find other parents who are struggling with some of the same issues. And ADHD, mental health in general, is a tough one because of the stigmas in societies and people still trying to tell you that it's not real and you shouldn't medicate your child and all that kind of stuff. So we got to band together.
Absolutely.
Well, where can
people losing the cape?
That's right. Where can people find you if they want to get more information?
You can find me on my blog at jsocblog.wordpress.com. I am in a process, a very slow process, to switching over to my own self-hosted website. So that will be happening in the next, I'm hoping, 2 to 3 months. But I am not tech savvy, as you know earlier, our tech difficulties. No, it was Janine in Canada's tech difficulties.
All right. We made it.
But yes, we did. And that will be coming up. You can also find me on Pinterest at pinterest.com/jsacmum. I like to fall into that Pinterest hole. And I have some boards for sensory kids and autism awareness, and collaborate with other boards as well. So great. I pin a lot of information, mm-hmm. and also on ADHD and ODD and self-regulation and yoga and meditation and all those wonderful techniques that definitely help in a sensory household. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/jlebsack. I think that's the only place I have my name. And I'm like, I can't change it now because it's been in your book. But that's okay. I'm actually seeing a trend now where a lot of freelance writers and blog-like pages have gone from the catchphrase, you know, that works for a website, to hosted by that actual writer's name.
Right.
So I started out anonymous as JSAC Mom, and now I've become semi-anonymous. I think there's always that portion of protecting my children, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, who's going to read your book if you just go by a fun little name? Right. I should say, who's going to read my book if I don't have my real name?
And it's a lot harder to promote it as an anonymous person.
Yes.
a lot harder.
And as a write, publish, edit with Kat Biggie.
Write, publish, sell.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Write, publish, sell. Yes. The edit portion is in there. My apologies.
Oh, no problem. Well, thank you very much for being with us today. And you're good luck
welcome.
With everything.
Yes. Thank you. It's been a journey, but I do have an incredible husband that has been there every step of the way. And although, you know, the brain wiring tends to make you feel and say things you don't really mean, I know at the heart of it, my kids respond really well to just me loving them.
Mm. No, I think that's the best advice ever.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies. I had a wonderful time, and I can't wait to share this.
Yay! Thank you so much for spending your time with us today, especially as we interview these women in our Live Bravely series. Their stories are so inspirational, and I hope that you have found some inspiration in listening to Janine and her joy of living a situation that many of us would not know how to handle well. I know I wouldn't. If you want to get any of the information that we discussed about or check out the show notes, you can find that at losethecape.com/podcast/83. We'd also really love it if you'd head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spreaker and follow us, leave us some reviews, all kinds of things to help us build our audience so we can share these wonderful messages with even more mamas who need this information too, I believe. Thanks so much. Have a great day and lose the cape.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.